Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Pavitra, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to the Indian Oil Corporation Limited 1Q FY20 post-result conference call hosted by Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Bhavin Gandhi from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani, it gives me great pleasure to host the management of Indian Oil Corporation for this post-result conference call. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for their initial remarks, and then we'll open the floor for a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Bhavin. This is Matthew, Chief General Manager, Corporate Treasury of Indian Oil. I welcome all of you for this conference with respect to the first quarter results of 19-20. Along with us in the management team is Mr. Sandeep Kumar Gupta, Director of Finance Designate and the CFO of the company. And along with him is Mr. Rohit Agarwal, the General Manager, Corporate Finance, and Mr. Prabhat Himat Singha, the Deputy General Manager, Corporate Treasury, and Mr. Avinash Singhal, Corporate Treasury and Investor Relations. So just to set the tone, let me just remind you that while we speak about the accounts and the numbers that are there, which has been circulated to you, we would request you that we'll keep our questions restricted to the accounts that has been put forward. And the other related questions can be taken separately as and when the time permits us. Thank you very much, and I give I request Mr. Sandeep Kumar Gupta to give his initial remarks on these accounts.
Dear investors and analysts, a very good afternoon to all of you. I take this opportunity to welcome you all to this conference call post announcement of the first quarter results of financial year 19-20. We have uploaded the results yesterday on the website, and you must have gone through that. And you have also, perhaps, you would have definitely received the updates from our side also. Still, I will like to provide some additional clarity and insights on our results. Coming to highlights, first of all, the Global Fortune 500 list for 2019 has been announced, and we are pleased to inform that Indian Oil has improved its position to 117, that is 117, with a relevant turnover of $77.6 billion. And this is a jump of 20 spots from the previous year's ranking. As regards the crude price, because of various geopolitical factors which counterbalance each other, the crude prices remained range-bound and are expected to be so in the near future also. Petroleum product consumption in the country for this quarter saw a drop of 0.2% as compared to the same period last year. And except for MSNHSD, every other product registered a negative growth. With respect to the crack spreads of the products, the MS cracks witnessed an upside during this quarter at $5.3 per barrel as compared to the preceding quarter where it was $1.9 per barrel. However, if we compare with quarter one of financial year 19, then it is lower by 40%. The MS crack at that time in the corresponding quarter was $8.9 per barrel. Similarly, for HSD, the crack spreads during this quarter was $10.4 per barrel, and which is lower by about 10% as compared to preceding quarter where it was $11.5 per barrel, and 18% lower than the corresponding quarter of financial year 19 where it was $12.5 per barrel. In the petrochemical space also, the spreads in dollar per metric terms have witnessed a declining trend in the last 1 year, and spreads for polymers in this quarter were about $556 per metric ton lower, which is 2% less than the previous quarter and 18% less than the corresponding quarter of financial year 18-19. Similarly, in the case of glycols also, where the pricing of MEG of IOCL is priced, the decline has been sharper and it came down by almost 88% in this quarter as compared to the corresponding quarter of last year. Despite the above negating factors, which does play a crucial role in the profitability of our business, this quarter we have registered a profit after tax of 3,596 crore. Though it is 47% lower than the corresponding quarter of financial year 19, but this better performance in the corresponding quarter of financial 19 was primarily because of a very high inventory gains of almost 7,800 crores. The revenue from operations during this quarter has registered an increase of about 3.9% as compared to the previous quarter, which translated to 1,50,135 crore as against 1,44,472 crore, and is also slightly higher than the corresponding quarter of financial year 19, which was 1,49,747 crores. Let me touch briefly on the major verticals. Coming to refineries vertical first, the throughput during the quarter was 17.3 million metric ton, which is though marginally lower than the preceding quarter of 17.4 million metric ton, as well as the corresponding quarter of financial year 19, where it was 17.7 million metric ton. The capacity utilization was more than 100%, and this is we believe is commendable considering that there was a major shutdown at our Gujarat refinery owing to our BS6 preparedness. The distillate yield was at 80.2% during this quarter, which is also in line with our plans. Consequently, the refineries have registered a GRM of $4.69 per barrel during this quarter as compared to $4.09 per barrel during the previous quarter. As per practice, followed during the earlier quarters also, we have continued to work out the GRMs where the inventory impacts are stripped off and the price lags are factored in to arrive at the normalized GRMs for comparison with Singapore benchmark margins. Accordingly, our normalized margins for this quarter is $2.27 per barrel, as against the Singapore benchmark margins of $3.5 per barrel. And we may mention that the higher Singapore margins are basically because of the movement of cracks, which favored the Singapore benchmark margins, considering that the MS proportion in the Singapore benchmark margins is more than our product slate. Coming to pipelines, our pipelines continue to generate stable returns, giving an EBITDA of about 1,623 crore during this quarter, which is about 2% higher than the preceding quarter. The capacity utilization was about 92.8% during this quarter, as against 90.2% in the previous quarter. And pipeline capacity utilization, as you would know, most of our these pipelines are captive, so they are utilized in accordance with the refinery requirements and refinery production. Coming to marketing, the domestic petroleum product sales during this quarter have been flattish. That is, they have maintained the same levels as that of the previous quarter, 20.5 to 1 million metric ton. As I stated earlier, though the industry witnessed an overall drop in consumption by about 0.2% as compared to the corresponding quarter of last year, Indian Oil per se has registered an increase of 0.3% as compared to the corresponding quarter of financial year 19. So that way, we have sort of battered as compared to the industry performance as regards sales are concerned. Accordingly, the marketing EBITDA for this period, for this quarter, stood at 4,565 crore as against 6,848 crore in the previous quarter. The marketing EBITDA for the corresponding quarter of financial year 19 was 4,369 crores. On the petrochemical front, the petrochemical vertical is very important vertical for Indian Oil and does contribute handsomely to our profits. However, this quarter, because of abnormally low cracks of petrochemical product, our margins were lower, and also one of our plants, that is PT at Panipat location, remained under shutdown because of an NGT issue, though we are glad to inform that it has now since now it has commenced operations recently. Coming to the borrowings, with respect to the borrowing levels, our borrowing as on 30th June 2019 have decreased by about 14,000 crore, and stands at 72,227 crore as compared to 86,359 crore as on 31st of March 2019. It may also be noted that this borrowing of 72,227 crore is inclusive of about 4,000 crore, which is because of accounting of lease obligations pursuant to Ind AS 116. And correspondingly, if we exclude this, and also an investment of 1600 crore which stands in our balance sheet as on 30th June 2019, then the comparable borrowings work out to 66,627 crore as compared to 86,359 crore as on 31st of March, which is a drop of about 20,000 crore, and this has been possible only because of settlement of our government dues. So I end my briefing here and we will be glad to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Participants are requested to restrict with two questions in the initial round and may join back the queue for further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Nilesh Gugge from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, as you are aware that PNGRB is in the process of determining network charges for those GAs where marketing exclusivity is already over. So, yeah. OMCs has shown the interest in CGD business through their GV and through various bidding rounds. They're participating in the various bidding rounds and are on the better footing. That is what I feel with they already have outlets. So, in that case, what are your plans? I mean, will you enter into these areas where you have to compete with the incumbents, or it is more prudent to go into new areas through upcoming bidding rounds? Your thought on that, sir?
No, we definitely want to be a player in these GAs also. However, we understand that one of the participant, that is IGL, perhaps has gone into court challenging this end of exclusivity. So this is one factor, and another factor is that assurance on the availability of gas at the domestic prices to other players after this exclusivity ends is also not very clear. So once these things get cleared out, we are definitely very interested in these GAs also.
So just let's assume that government allocate gas to the new entrant as well. That's a hypothetical case. Yeah. Notification is still not yet to come, or there is no clarity, as I understand. But if that clarification comes, are you interested in increasing your commission rather than entering into the fighting with the incumbent?
No, definitely. We will be interested in these GAs also, which were awarded to other players. Because being OMC, we are positioned well to have our significant presence through presence of our ROs. We can have CNG dispensing, etc. So we will be interested. However, it is premature to say because these issues are yet to be settled.
Okay. And my second question on Ennore LNG terminal utilization, sir. So can you throw some light on that? And who are the anchor customers as of now?
As of now, we are supplying to CPCL and Madras Fertilizers and Tamil Nadu Petroped Products because the complete pipeline is not yet commissioned. So that complete commissioning will take time up to maybe February 2021, after which we will be increasing our capacity utilization of terminal.
So how much it is now and what it will be after February 21? Any number?
We are expected to do about, 0.75 million metric ton by the end of this year, and say about 1.3 to 1.4 by the end of next year. And once this pipeline gets commissioned, then we believe there should be substantial ramp up of capacity utilization of this terminal.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Sujit Lodha from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, one thing. Regarding the comparison with Singapore GRM, you said you are 2.27 and Singapore 3.5. So, in that sense, how would an inventory gain with this chip? I mean, if you look at the Singapore GRM, that's an inventory gain concept. It assumes that the product is made at the start of the quarter and have sold at the average during the quarter. So, shouldn't the reported GRM... So shouldn't the reported GRM plus inventory gain be comparable to Singapore GRM? What am I missing here?
No, as you may be aware, Singapore benchmark margins are theoretical margins only, which are reported by Reuters based upon 100% high sulfur crude processing and a fixed product slate. This all is theoretical only. And it is computed based upon daily prices in the international market, that is at Singapore. Okay.
Right.
So, since these are on real-time prices, daily prices, so they do not take into account any inventory gains, losses. So, that is why we strip off our reported GRMs with such inventory gains, losses, price lags, etc. to make it comparable Singapore benchmark markets.
So that I'm complete, that I'm aware that it's a theoretical calculation, but what I'm saying is that if you remove the inventory gain, what else is the component? What is the price lag? Shouldn't the inventory gain be taking care of the price lag impact, or what is that which you strip off and say normalize your current margins?
No, the while daily pricing has been implemented for market, as far as the transfer pricing from refinery to marketing is concerned, that continues on fortnightly basis. So our reported GRM consider this RTP, refinery transfer price, based upon fortnightly pricing. So this price lag is for stripping this also off to make it comparable to daily pricing.
So basically, what you are saying is that the marketing, the end marketing, which takes care of the RTP prices in your calculation, that is a 15-day lag, and that is what you are stripping off.
But this does not include marketing margin. This is only refining.
Right. Only the RTP
price. But assuming that these refinery transfer prices also change on a daily basis.
Okay. So should it be assumed that it will have a negative impact going forward? Or in a rising GRM scenario, what will be the impact of the lag? Will it be a negative impact or will it be a positive impact?
In the rising scenario, we will be pricing, the refinery transfer price will be based upon a lag. It will be a loss, but we will strip it off. In the rising scenario, there will be inventory gains, but there will be a negative because of price lag. When we strip both off, it will be comparable with the daily.
Fair point. Thank you so much. Can I tell one more question? So this PTA plant which you're saying in the Petchem PTA plant in Panipat, so what are the number of days where it was shut down? I mean, how many days?
It was shut down in February for a planned shutdown, and it was to come up in March, but it did not come up because we got a notice from NGT. So since March, practically it is down.
So practically the whole quarter it was not there.
In last week of August, it has been, in last week of July, it has been restarted.
So, the whole of the quarter, it was not there.
Whole of the quarter, it was not up operational.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Aishwarya Agarwal from Reliance Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to know, this marketing income, which we see on a very high level versus the earlier regulated one, so how we should see it in the future? I mean, should we see it elevated or should we see it as at a regulated level, which used to be 9 months before?
Last quarter, you can refer, last quarter was high, and we did say that there will be some corrections, and it will be, we consider these quarter margins to be near normal levels.
Okay, and how about current quarter, sir? This 1Q FY20?
That is what I am saying. The first quarter, financial in 1920, can be considered at normal levels.
So effectively, it is 4,200 crores for the quarter, and we should multiply it by 4, some 16,000 plus.
That is for you to assume. The numbers are with you.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Aditya Suresh from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just to follow up on the same question, in marketing, what is the price lag impact which is booked in the quarter, if any? And the second question is, into IMO, what sort of operational kind of changes are you all making at the refineries? Is any like yield enhancement projects which you all are thinking about, any maintenance which you should be aware of? Thank you.
The first question, I am not clear.
Can you repeat the question?
I guess the first question was that in refining, presumably the performance has been dragged by these price lag impacts. Conversely, in marketing, the opposite holds true, right? So has marketing performance been kind of enhanced by these price lag impacts, which was hampering the refining business?
Yeah, there will be a corresponding impact. Corresponding to refinery, there will be an impact in marketing.
Exactly. So if you, can you help us understand what that underlying marketing performance was, ex that price lag impact?
Mr. Suresh, here, I mean, I would just like to intervene and say that probably you can leave that calculations to us, to the company to deal with that, because we would not like to dwell into the nitty-gritty of things here. You need to excuse us for this, because you have to see the margins from long-term perspective. And you see that on an overall basis, on a year-to-year basis, how this is panning out. Yes, there are impacts, thanks, but probably we may not be able to delve much into that.
As regards IMO, I will not be able to tell you the technical aspects of the changes which we are making in our plant. But what I can share is that our Gujarat refinery will be ready to produce 1 million metric ton of IMO compliant FO, and Haldia refinery is also being prepared to supply 0.5 million metric ton of IMO compliant FO.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Vidyadhar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So, a couple of questions. One is, what is the status of the polypropylene plant and any guidance on production, ramp-up and utilization for the current year and next?
Yeah, the plant has been commissioned in July. Though it was mechanically completed long back, but it has been commissioned finally in July. And July production, though, was low at 2,900 tons. But then now that the plant is commissioned, we expect it to produce at the desired levels in the coming months.
So any guidance you could give on current year or next year, or some guidance, some idea on what kind of ramp up? Can we assume, say, 50% utilization for the rest of the year or somewhat higher, and what about next
maybe
year?
We will come back on this. We do not have the exact guidance.
Or is it too early to basically...
Because it was commissioned recently,
just, okay,
on 1st of July only, so we need to have this input from technical.
Sure. Second question is on what's your LPG kerosene subsidy outstanding from the government right now, or as of June, and what is it as of now?
Yeah, Rohit.
The total GOI outstandings as on June is 9,700, and it remains at that level.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My question is regarding your crude sourcing on the back of changes in the global market. So we have got the light heavy differential shrinking. So what I've noticed is that your distillate, your high sulfur crude intake has also fallen to around 49%. So is it because are you going for more light crude, and what are the economics there, and especially US crude, what kind of economics you are seeing there?
Yeah, definitely. While sourcing crude oil, we do take the differentials into account, it's not necessary that always high sulfur processing or heavy crude processing may give us better results. So we do optimize on that based upon the differentials.
So do you think the market has become difficult now, or it is like more or less stable in terms of the margins that you earn in the refining business?
The margins, refining margins are definitely suppressed, as you can be seen from Singapore benchmark margins also. The margins are definitely suppressed. And it is really difficult for the refiners. It's a period. It's a difficult period for the refiners.
So broadly speaking, what kind of guidance would you give if we assume Singapore to be around $5? So what kind of margins could you be targeting under such a scenario?
As you would have also seen, our margins are around Singapore benchmark margins. So if you are assuming that Singapore benchmark margins will be $5, then we should also be very near to that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Pinakin Parikh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. So my first question is on diesel and MS market share. If you look at the trend of the last few quarters, IOCL volume growth on a year-on-year basis has lagged the industry volume growth. But the difference has narrowed. So, sir, do you see the market share stabilizing in diesel and petrol, or do you think that this trend of IOCL growing at a rate lower than the industry could continue for the next few quarters?
Look, with any entry of a private player, we being the market largest market holders, there is going to be some shrinkage in the market share. But for MS, at least I can say, in Q1 19-20 versus Q1 18-19, our growth has been 8.8%, whereas the industry growth was only 8.5%. The PSU growth was 8.7%. However, industry-wise, you are correct that there has been lower growth as compared to industry. So we do lose if the private players are very aggressive, but this may not sustain for a very long time. We have ambitious expansion plans in the retail sector. Plus, we are doing a lot of improvements in service factors and other product differentiator factors also. So let us see how the things proceed.
Thank you, sir. So my second question is on the petchem. While you would come and give a more detailed guidance on the polypropylene plant later through the year, sir, the ongoing projects of the MEG plant at Paradeep and the naphtha cracker at Panipat, sir, what are the timelines we should look at in terms of commissioning?
Yeah, just a minute.
The MEG project at Paradeep, the progress is around 12% right now, and the scheduled completion is by October 21. Okay, this is a 357 KT capacity plant. And if you're talking about the Panipat naphtha cracker, it has just gone to the first stage clearance, and it will take maybe around another 3 years down the line.
Understood. And sir, just two more quick questions, sir. Given where the net debt is on an underlying basis of 66,000 crores, the visibility that you have over the course of the year, do you think, sir, this will go up sharply, stay flat, come down? How are you looking at the debt situation, sir?
So that largely depends upon the GOI borrowing positions, GOI dues position, actually. If, say, presently the GOI dues are down to 9,700 levels, so if we get, say, claims settled on regular basis, then definitely borrowings will be at this level. But if the GOI dues go up at the end of the year, then definitely there will be an increase to that extent.
And sir, 9,000 crore is basically what a run rate due will always be, right, sir? I mean, on
yes,
a steady state basis.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Understood. And sir, lastly, just a quick comment on Singapore complex. I mean, the last couple of weeks, fuel oil has seen very strong strength. So, sir, the IOCL's refining margins to the benchmark, if we have a strength in FO and given whether, you know, other product cracks are, should IOCL still report in line with Singapore complex, or you think at that point of time there could be material variance if you have a fuel oil-driven higher refining margin?
No, our fuel oil production is very low as of now. With Haldia, the FO production will further go down. So we do not see any impact, any material impact on our GRMs because of FO cracks.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Our FO yield is only 3.8%, 2.7 million metric ton only.
Okay, understood.
For this quarter.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Amit Rastogi from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, could you explain us that how much was outstanding from the government at the beginning of this financial year? How much has come through till date, like up to July in the last 4 months? And you have already mentioned that around 9,000 crore is still outstanding from the government at this moment. Is that correct?
Yes. The opening dues were, as on 31st of March 19, the dues were 19,121 crores. And they are down to 9,772 crores to be precise on 30th of June 2019.
Yeah, so we received around 9,300 crores from the government. So I'm saying in the last 1 month, in the month of July, have we received anything from the government? And what is the outstanding now?
Yeah, outstanding, I said 9,772 as on 30th of June. The amount received
is 31st of July.
You want 31st of July? Do we have?
Same.
Yeah. Say we did not receive anything further.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of July, the position remains the same.
Okay. And so second thing, what was our Paradeep refining margins for the current quarter? And how do we see panning them out in maybe next 1 year or so?
Paradeep margins also in line with other margins was not good because the refinery performance remained suppressed because of the lower cracks. So it's profitability like any other refinery will depend upon the cracks which remain in the future period. Also at the price levels, if the price levels are high, naturally the fuel and loss impact, etc. will be high.
But sir, are we trying to do something different with respect to Paradeep refinery because it's given its complexity that we can recoup better than Singapore margins, because Singapore margins right now is $7, averaging $7 in last 1 month. So can we expect that going forward, the performance of Paradeep refinery will be beating Singapore GRMs?
As I explained, if the Singapore margins go up, then our refinery margins will also go up. That has been the trend in the past also for last several quarters. Mm-hmm. So all our refinery margins will move accordingly in line with Singapore margins, because that our margins are impacted by the international cracks. Further, the profitability of Paradeep refinery will improve now that the polypropylene unit is now commissioned. So that will also give some additional yields based upon polypropylene cracks.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Nitin Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. So, what was the CAPEX in this quarter, and if you can give us basically a breakup of where the money was spent in what all segments, and also a CAPEX guidance for the year, and then I'll ask my second question.
We have a plan of about 25,000 crores for this year, and we spent about 4,250 crores in this quarter. And we have a lot of whole list of projects where the CAPEX is going on. They range from all verticals, refinery, pipeline, marketing, petchem, E&P. So everything is there. Maybe you can separately take down the details. But the total CAPEX, I told you, 25,000 is the plan for the year. And we did about 4,250 crores in this quarter.
Please, so you don't have the breakup with you right now?
Okay, if you are interested, then refineries, the yearly plan is 7,300 approximately, pipeline 5,600, marketing 6,400. E&P is opportunity based, but we have kept about 1,000 crore, petchem about 1,500 crores, gas, etc., about 230 crores, and other balances, other projects. Okay.
Right. And sir, what is the refinery CAPEX largely around? You're spending 7,300 crores. So what's the CAPEX mostly around?
We have BS6, as mentioned, we have BS6 projects. So out of 7,300 crores, practically 4,200 crores is for BS6 quality upgradation projects itself. Plus, we have Indmax project going on at Bongaigaon refinery and some brownfield expansions at Barauni, Panipat, Gujarat, etc.
Great, sir. And sir, my second question is around calculation of inventory gains. So if you can just help us understand the basic modalities of how we arrive at inventory gain or loss. Can you just help us understand? Yeah.
Whenever the prices rise, you recover based upon the latest price while processing the raw material which was procured at the old price. This
right.
gives you the gains. This is
right.
This is accumulated as margin, and we term this gain as inventory gain.
So what is the time frame in which, like, you know, basically the prices are compared for, like, you know, calculation?
Opening versus closing?
Yeah.
We compare opening versus closing.
So opening would be end of March quarter, and end of June quarter is would be the closing,
yes.
or, like, you know...
Yes, yes.
So that's where, like, you know, my question actually stems from, because a broader sense was that given that crude corrected very sharply over June as compared to the March quarter, so most of the correction happened over the month of June. So prices should have been lower in the month of June compared to what they were at March. So
no,
shouldn't we be looking
like
at, it's not like that?
No, we based upon our crude slate, our closing inventory valuation rate was higher than the opening.
Right. Okay. So June, actually, we had basically a higher sort of a pricing compared to March, and that's why, like, you know, we
yes.
ended up with the inventory gain. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Both on the crude and the marketing. Oh, sorry, on
yeah.
the refining and the marketing side.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have a follow-up question from Sujit Lodha from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So, in BFA, so what is the total capex spend and what is the monetization expectation on that? How do you monetize it?
Capex, as I mentioned earlier, it is 25,000 crore for the year. For this quarter, we spent about 4,200 crore.
No, no, no. Sir, I am talking about BS6 capex. We must have spent till date.
BS6 capex, totally about 17,000 crore we are spending. Total capex, different years put together, will be about 17,000 crore on quality upgradation.
Sir, and is there any monetization of this? I mean, would you be charging extra on the retail fuel, on retail pricing, or there's no sort of clarity on that?
As of now, not, because let the projects be commissioned. Maybe around February or March, we will have more clarity on this.
February, March. So we have to start by Jan 20, right?
We have to start by 1st April 20, BS6.
Sorry, got it. Sir, so will it be available from 1st April 20, or would you be starting it from your pumps much earlier than that?
We have to, because there is some requirements of dilution at marketing terminals, etc. So we will be sort of ready perhaps a month in advance.
A month in advance. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know that in the NCR region, we are already providing BS6 fuels. In the NCT from 1418 and in the extended NCR region some months back.
So this would be exactly same price that what your normal
presently same price, yes.
Exactly same. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Rohit Ahuja from Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question on refining. So I know this was mentioned earlier, but if you can clarify, what are the steps you're taking to maximize the GRM potential at your refineries and especially at Paradeep in run-up to IMO? And second question, your marketing business performance was good, and we see the granular details of the sales trend. We are seeing you're losing market share in petrol, diesel, but you're making up market share in ATF and other industrial products. So are these products that giving you improvement in marketing margins?
Your voice was not very audible, it was very low. But
Ahuja, can you just repeat the first question? We'll take it one at a time.
Yes, sir. So my first question was on refining. How are we ensuring that we maximize the GRM potential for IOC's refineries and also Paradeep in run-up to the IMO regulations?
How do we maximize refining margins and run-up to IMO?
The GRM potential of the refinery.
I do not know how to answer this, but then you are aware that we run a LP model of optimization, taking our refinery configuration and the crude available, and accordingly source the crude. I do not know beyond that what you are seeking. It's not very clear.
So are we intending to increase the diesel output in our refineries?
Any distillate, for that matter, whether it is diesel or whether it is MS, definitely it gives more margins to refiners, and we do intend to increase our distillate yields at all our refineries.
Right, sir. And Paradeep, we've seen that it's not yet running up to the potential in terms of GRM contribution. Could you help us that would it be at its optimal potential by Jan 2020 as when IMO kicks in?
Definitely we expect so, but then it lot depends upon the international prices. If the prices remain depressed, Paradeep can only do a physical performance. The financial numbers will depend upon the international prices.
So we were talking about increasing the heavy oil utilization at our refineries. Where are we that in that trajectory of using high sulfur fuel?
No, actually, as I said earlier also, the economics of processing heavy sulfur or high sulfur or heavy crude should be there. Then only that it makes any sense to increase that. So it all depends upon the differentials which are prevailing, and those all are factored in while sourcing the crude for the refineries.
Yeah. So secondly, on marketing, I just would like to repeat that you have, if I look at the trend product-wise, you have lost market share in petrol and diesel while gained in ATF and other industrial products. So is this the reason why your margins have been strong in marketing?
No, on one side you are comparing with industry. I do not know whether you are comparing marketing EBITDA also with industry. So we do not have industry marketing EBITDA. We have our own. So our own has increased because our market share has, basically the volumes have increased.
So it's specifically driven by ATF and industrial products, that's where the products you have gained margin?
No, I am saying even for MS and HSD, our volumes have increased.
No, it's the increase in volume in percentage terms is lower than the industry.
So how does it matter? We are not comparing our EBITDA with other industry EBITDA, no? So we are comparing our EBITDA with our previous EBITDA. So the market share does not play any role in it. The volumes play a role.
Right. So this EBITDA you're saying is sustainable, what you reported this quarter?
We believe so, yes.
That's helpful, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon. Thanks for your time, sir. If you could just give us the average
inventory
of crude. Sir, if you could just give me the average crude inventory days that you carry in terms of number of days.
46. Right. Our average inventory holding for crude is about 46 days.
46 days.
Yeah.
And if you could just give a closing dollar carrying rate as of June, if you have the number.
Dollar carrying rate means what? Whatever is the...
What is the inventory rate in terms of dollar terms in Brent or how much, whatever crude we are carrying as on June 30th, what is the value in dollar terms per barrel?
We do not have that at present. We will inform you later.
Just, I'll take it offline, sir. And just one final question on the once you move to BS6, currently is there any crack difference in terms of the international pricing between the current diesel petrol between BS4 to BS6, and if what is the delta that is there?
We have not been tracking this because this is too premature. The pricing has to be effective 1/4/2020, so we are not presently tracking.
Okay. Would that be very negligible or?
I am not sure.
Got it, sir. And one final question on CPCL is talking about making a greenfield investment in their Karaikal, their Cuddalore facility. Any thoughts
no,
on Cuddalore, that? Anything
it's
that,
not Cuddalore.
Sorry.
It's Kaveri Basin Refinery.
Okay. Are we making any investments there, and and how much would be the investments in terms of from IOCL side?
There are plans to increase the capacity to 9 million ton, and the project can be perhaps around 25,000 to 27,000 crore. So. Now, since there is investment by NIOC also, NICO also, so it will have to be seen what will be our contribution in that.
Are we likely to take an FID on this? Sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I was asking, when are we likely to take a final decision on final investment? Because I understand it's currently in pre-FID stage. When are we likely to finalize on this CAPEX or plans?
I think CPCL would be in a better position to answer this question. Being a listed company, they would be certainly aware of this plans they have got. But from our perspective, it has to go through some stage of clearances and due diligence from our side. And probably we are working upon it. It's already on our working table.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Last question for the day comes from Mr. Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Clarity on two questions. One is, in this quarter, there's a lease change. And
Please, a little louder.
Yeah, the other expenses in this quarter are lower by 187 crore because of the lease accounting change. Just wanted to check in which division this benefit would have flown in, like gone to marketing, refining, petrochemicals, where the impact was more predominant.
Right.
Yeah, we are looking at Q1 versus Q1 or other expenses?
No, I'm saying the effectively other expenses are lower by 187 crore just because of lease changes, lease accounting changes this quarter, right? I'm just
lower as compared to what?
You know, what has happened is the depreciation and finance costs have gone up because of lease account changes, other expenses have gone down.
So as you would be aware that the rent expenses comes down.
So it's largely marketing, that's how we take it?
Yeah.
And the reversal that we've done on the provision side, which is 626 crore, that would have also flown direct completely to the marketing division?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That would be the last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Bhavin Gandhi for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Bhatliwala and Karani, I would like to thank all the participants for taking time out for the call. Thank you to the management of IOC as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We thank you all for participating in this conference call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Doorsabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.